doing. Your church in South Africa, Lord, that you are alive. You're alive and well. You're alive. Doesn't matter what we've been through. Doesn't matter what test we had to stand, Lord. You are alive. You are the resurrection and the life. And we proclaim Christ. We proclaim Christ our banner over the city and over this church and over every family and every person that is here this morning. You are the life. You are the resurrection. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. That was great. I just want to make a special thanks to the worship guys and to Stephen and the setup guys. We often have only a few people doing all of this stuff every Sunday. So I just want to, you know, and even hospitality, Alinda and her team. Guys, it's really amazing what you're doing every week. And it makes this possible. Cannot do it without you. So even if you are here and you feel like you want to be part of it, just speak to one of those people or speak to me. Stephen has got some cool technology gadgets. So if you like technology, like knobs and stuff, speak to him. That'd be awesome. If you're a visitor today, you're welcome. You're a guest of honor. If you're a second time visitor, you're still a guest of honor. I'm glad to see you again. So this morning I'm going to continue where I left off 2 weeks ago. This new speaker system sounds different. It feels like I'm speaking in a big hall. It's cool. Yes, I spoke about the bride. Will the bride say yes? And basically we just started a conversation around the gifts and the gifts of the Spirit. And I just retold the story in the Old Testament. It's amazing, and there's always these parallels in the Old Testament. You know, all over the Old Testament you can see Christ hidden in all kinds of things, in the Exodus, in Abraham's faith. You know, all over the Old Testament you can see images of Christ. And there's also images in the Old Testament of the Father and of the Holy Spirit that is hidden. And one of those images of the Holy Spirit that we had was just the image of Rebecca, how she received the gifts from the servant that was sent out to procure her as a bride for Isaac. You know, as she received a message from the servant, from Abraham's servant, that immediately he put gifts on her, and she didn't say no to that. And you know, I'm not going to go into everything I shared, but for me it's such a picture of the body of Christ. You know, when we speak of a bride in the New Testament, we speak about us, the corporate body of Christ, about us corporately and individually. You know, will we corporately accept what God has for us and individually? And so one of the things that the New Testament church offers us in terms of gifts is the gifts of the Spirit. Get the fruits of the Spirit. It's got more to do with something that's grown. A fruit gets grown on a tree. So it's something that we have to cultivate, the fruits of the Spirit, with the help of God. But then you get gifts. And when we think of a gift, it's something we get for free. Something that God gives us without us having to work for it, having to earn it, having to establish something in it. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And obviously there's been a lot of controversy in the body of Christ about the gifts. There's also been a lot of misuse. And there's also a lot of underuse. A lot of people in the New Testament, the body of Christ, has abdicated, has said the gifts were only for the apostolic age, etc. So there's a fine balance that we need to find. And I believe this morning we're just going to look at a balanced view on the gifts. And then I'm going to just look at one or two of the gifts, and then we'll continue again next week. But let's pray. Father, we thank you that this morning you're the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, your word still the same, Lord. And thank you, Lord, as we search your word today, that your word will speak to our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I will become less and your word will become more, Lord. And thank you that what I say, Father, will be pleasing to you, Lord. It will be pleasing to our hearts, Lord. And it will be something that we wrestle with for ourselves, so that we can take ownership of it and bear much fruit. Your word says it's like Psalm 1, Father, that we bear much fruit, Father, if we abide in your word, Father. We will bear fruit in every season. And I pray, Father, that this word will also bear much fruit to your glory and for the edification of the body. Amen. All right, so I'm going to just summarize one or two scriptures from last time. The first one is just 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 and 7 to 10. This is a summary of the gifts. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. But to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another faith, to another healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So those are like nine distinct gifts, but you also see some of those are seen as manifold gifts, you know, so the gifts of healings. So it's not just a gift of healing. So it means there could be different types of healing gifts, or maybe for different symptoms, etc. So some of those gifts are multiple gifts. So it's not just the nine specific gifts. Some of them are greater, you know, it's got varied expressions of those gifts. But just as we look at this, I just want to say a few things about it. The first is that the gifts are always available to the church. Upon the 1900s, beginning of the 1900s, I don't know if you've heard about the Azusa Street Revival. It was really where the gifts, in the end of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, is where the gifts have really been kind of restored to the church, where people have really gone into the gifts and expressed the desire for the gifts, and where God has really manifested his gift, in a sense, given his gifts back to the church. So there was like the Middle Ages, and there's been a lot of time, kind of the Reformed theology believed that there is no expression of the Holy Spirit through the gifts in our lives, and that was kind of a season where the church kind of said no to the gifts, or maybe they just didn't know any better. You know, sometimes we need to re-find some things that has already been made available to us. But what's amazing about the last century is they estimate about 500 million people have come to Christ just through the moves, the Pentecostal and charismatic movements that believe in the expression of the gift. So it's by far been the fastest growing part of the body of Christ has been the charismatic and the Pentecostal arms or the branches of the church. So, you know, that's something we can take notice of. That's the fastest growing movement in the world, probably, is the Spirit-empowered movement of the church. So the gifts of the Spirit, I think, is crucial for the body of Christ to function, especially in the day and age that we live in, where everything is kind of in the supernatural plane. So God, often when we think of the supernatural plane, we think of evil, we think of demonic, we think of witchcraft, and we think of, vampires and all those things that we see on TV. So often we can associate the supernatural with evil, but I believe that is exactly what the enemy is trying to do, is trying to steal that which is good. So often when we see expression in the world of something in a great way, it's often the enemy doing a counterfeit work. So often what we think is we need to retract from that area. It's like politics. You know, when you say to somebody politics, Christians should get involved in politics, they say it's too evil to get involved. But that's exactly why it has become so evil, is because Christians are not involved in that playing field. So I think in every field, in every arena of the world, and in the world around us, Christians should get involved to redeem the good of those things, like Hollywood as well. Hollywood, when it was started about 100 years ago, it was a Christian guy that started it for family values. You know, so it was programs about good family values and things like that. And then the enemy hijacked it. So even the TV industry, the movie industry, has actually been something that can be redeemed. And we see it actually quite lately. There's been quite a lot of good Christian movies being made. So we see that God is busy redeeming a lot of fields. But the supernatural field, I believe, is what we're going to talk about today, and it's important. One of the things we can see from 1 Corinthians 12 is it says, it was given to each one for the common good. So what I can interpret from that is that gifts are gifts, so we cannot earn them. So we cannot always decide what we want and how we want it. But one thing I can interpret from that is that God wants to give each one of us at least one. Because it says the gifts were given to each one of us for the common good of the whole. So I would suggest that God would give you at least one if you desire it. I believe one of those gifts at least should be yours. So I think we shouldn't go into that striving. We should say, God, if you say in your word, it is meant for the body. It's actually not for ourselves to start with. It's meant for the body of Christ. And for me, the beauty of that is it speaks of ministry. So when we come together on a Sunday, another you know, this verse says, then one does this, one does that. So when we come to minister on a Sunday, we minister to a varied amount of gifts. So maybe I ministering to preaching in front of you, but all of us have something that God has given us, or that we can desire that God will reveal to us that He's given to us to minister to one another. So all of us should actually come to church on a Sunday being excited that God would use us. And one of the reasons why we sometimes stressed out about these kind of things is because we think we need a certain level of education or accomplishment. But that is one of those corporate kind of lies that we have. To preach, we believe we need to, you know, have all this knowledge and all that stuff. But a gift is something we cannot qualify for. So even the expression of that, even the use of that is a gift. So you can, somebody that's completely uneducated, somebody that's completely illiterate, God can still use in the gifts. Isn't that amazing? So the gifts of the Spirit is not limited to anybody. God will sometimes use the foolish things, the Bible says, to show the wisdom, up the wisdom of the wise of this world, you know, to confront that wisdom. And we see that with the 12 disciples, they were just fishermen. They were partially uneducated people. And God changed the world through 12 people because He invested Himself into them. And I believe God is here to invest Himself in us, even besides ourselves. So, as I say here, I believe a father genuinely loves to give gifts to his children they desire. So the second thing I want to say about the gifts is that, when my children express an interest in a certain area of toys or in things, then I'm generally predisposed to give them that gift for their birthday. I don't know if you think like that as well. But the Bible says God is a good father giving good gifts to his children. And if a father gives good gifts, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit? So I believe if there's a desire in us, then that's probably very likely the gift God will give us. And then it says later on, we can get to that, it says that in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, that we should desire certain gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. So desire is a good place to receive a gift by. So if you have a desire for something, then express that to God. God, I would love to bring words of knowledge to people in need. Lord, I would love to bring a prophetic word of encouragement. Lord, I would love to operate in the gift of healing so that people that are sick can heal. And once again, it's not something we qualify for, but it's something in a sense that we can desire. And that is in a sense as well our qualification. It's received by a simple response of faith. You know, so if a father gives you a gift, the only thing you can do is receive it by faith. See, it's like any gift. You know, when I give my son a gift, he can still reject it. Or he can just by faith say, my father loves me so much, I'm going to take this. And he's going to rejoice in me in operation in this gift. So God is not limited to denominations. I believe some people, even in the Reformed denominations, I believe operate in certain gifts. You know, like the gift of wisdom. I've experienced that operating in churches that don't believe necessarily per se in the gift of the Spirit. But some of the wisdom that's expressed is not natural wisdom. On a natural plane kind of wisdom. It must be something that God expresses or reveals to people. So I believe some people are operating in the gifts, and even though they don't know it, God can give you a gift even though you don't know you have it. Especially the gift of wisdom, for instance. So what are the 9 gifts? Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. You know, like I said, some of them are multifaceted, you know, workings of miracles, gifts of healings, discerning of spirits. You can discern maybe different spirits, kinds of tongues, so that there's different tongues, and then the interpretation of that. So a few more things to say about these gifts. The gifts has an impact on our senses in ways that we can see or hear or feel. See, God Himself, we cannot see or hear or feel. So God, in a sense manifests Himself to our senses through the gifts. So in a sense, it's not part of our identity. A gift is something we receive. We don't become the gift. We don't become healing. We don't become, you know, the prophetic word or the word of wisdom. But the wisdom that's being spoken and the healing that manifests is something that's part of God. So in a sense, God reveals Himself, His identity, to others through the gifts that flows through our lives. You're with me this morning. So in a sense, that's one way that God comes and reveals Himself to the body of Christ and to the world out there is through his gifts, to our senses. People are desperate for God. And they cannot see God. So one of the ways that they can see God, and I believe that's why the charismatic renewal movement in the last 100 years has seen such amount of growth, because people have experienced God in new ways. One of the ways to experience the Trinity is through the gifts, and especially the Holy Spirit. So God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, wants to express himself through the gifts. So that's in a way we get to know God. All of them are for the profit of all. So like I said, and again, it's for the benefit of all. So it's to build up. I believe that is one of the keys to the gift, is that you must have a desire to build other people up. Practical purposes. So gifts are to serve practical purposes, is to help people get to where they are or need to be, help people to be fully equipped for God's work, help people to be whole and healed. So they're tools and not toys. So we mustn't, the gifts is not to be used for ourselves. Okay, toy be used for ourselves, tool is used for somebody else. So there has to be a degree of reverence if you're going to use the gifts rightly. All these gifts are supernatural. So they're not the ability of our natural ability, like I said earlier. So they're not the ability of me trying to become a healer. You know, it's not about me, you know, sitting in a school of healing. Although I believe those things have merit, I believe they're not something we qualify for as much as we receive it. Okay. And then a gift is different than just a fruit. Like you get a fruit of faith and a gift of faith. Hello, guys. And the fruit of faith is something we cultivate. The Bible speaks about the fruits of the Spirit. You know, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So that's a degree of faith we cultivate. But then you also get the faith of salvation. That's something you have to come to God by faith. So the initial just root faith, seed faith, is not a gift of faith. That's something that all of us must, if we come to Christ, we have faith. Faith that God is good. So that faith can be developed as a fruit. But then you also get the gift of faith. And that is a gift that's on a supernatural plane. It's not something you have. So that's something that is supernaturally imputed, imparted to you. So we just need to have those distinctions. So if your fruit of faith is developed, then you that's something that you walk in. It's something that's part of you. The gift of faith is God. It's something that God comes and does to you. I believe the workings of miracles in the New Testament, I believe they are an example of the gift of faith operating through people. You know, like Moses standing in front of the Red Sea and the Red Sea opens. That is not a fruit of faith. That is faith that God comes and imparts to a person for a moment, gives them a word, say, speak to the sea, open up. You know, the miracles in Egypt, the bread and the fish being multiplied, those are through a gift of faith. They're not normal gifts. Those are gifts God gives for a certain moment, for a certain reason, for a certain purpose. You know, so God wants to do those things in our lives as well, but those things are greater than what we can achieve in our own natural faith. Okay, you with me this morning? So it's good that we just understand these things as we explore them. So that really means that each healing, each miracle, each discerning of a spirit, each utterance in a certain tongue is a gift. So these nine gifts can be expressed in so manifold, many ways. And that's really beautiful about the gifts of the Spirit. It's such a manifold, such a diversity, such a richness in them. And when they all come together, the body of Christ are being built up by God himself, God sovereignly. And if a gift regularly exhibits itself to a specific person, you can say, I have that gift. If you pray for people regularly and they get healed, you've got a gift of healing. If you prophesy regularly and those words come true, you've got a gift of prophecy. If you generally get a word of wisdom for situations that's above the natural plane, God gives you expressed solutions to situations that's not your own, then you can say you have got the gift of wisdom. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1, pursue love, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. I believe here's a key for us. One gift that I believe has actually got more merit than the others is prophecy. because here Paul says prophecy is very, very helpful for building up. Because what is a prophetic word? It's a word that exhorts, that builds up, probably more than any other word, other gift. Okay. Once again, gifts cannot be earned. It must be emphasized they're a gift of God's grace. They're exercised by faith. We can never earn them. We can never be good enough to exercise them. Another key for exercising spiritual gift is to cultivate a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Like we said, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and it relates to His personhood, His identity. So if we want to operate in the gifts, one thing to exercise is just a sensitivity, an awareness of God with us, the third person of the Trinity. And God, Jesus says, it's better that I go away, because I sent the Holy Spirit. I'm not operating in these things as I suit, but the exciting part of that is that if we create an awareness of God, who He is, and the Holy Spirit, and the fact that God has sent Him to us, there's a realization, there's a reality of us exercising in the gift. So this morning, I'm just giving us a lot of teaching on the gifts, just so that we can have a good foundation to go forth from. So it's good to make notes, or if you can catch up on it. I'm saying a lot of stuff, but it's good if you have a foundation, then when you operate in them, you know what are you operating in. You know it's not part of yourself. You can just allow the Holy Spirit to operate through you. You don't have to earn them. You don't have to stand in an intellectual place. You don't have to understand what's happening. You know, if you operate in a gift of healings and you're going to put your mind in the way, for instance, you're going to probably not be able to do that, because it's God expressing Himself through you, and you're not always going to understand how it works. Okay, so it's allowing the person of the Holy Spirit to speak through you, work through you, express Himself through you. And then 1 Corinthians 1:7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So we're going to look at the purposes of the gifts. Why did God give the gifts to the church? Why do we have them? Why do we want to operate in them? Why do we want to desire to operate in them? So let's look at a few purposes. The first one is the testifies of Christ. That is the most important thing of the gifts. It has to pull people back to Christ. And Revelations, it says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Christ. You know, so for instance, prophecy, all of prophecy, as it builds up the body of Christ, primary to that, or integral, central to that, is the person of Christ, pulling people back to Christ. Especially the knowledge gifts, it says here, they don't lack as they wait. So I believe it's gifts that are given to us to enable our speech, to enable our thinking, to enable our expression till the end of the age. So it's something that God has given the church to manifest Him to people and to build people up till He comes back. So it's something that is given for this age till Jesus comes back. It makes God for God's sovereignty. And that is an important one, because the reality is if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to do things, we can be in control. So it's also a place of trust. It's a place of letting go. It's a place of saying, God, You are sovereign over our lives. In my individual life, in my relationships, I allow You to be sovereign. But especially in the body of Christ, the church, the Bible says God builds His church. You know, one of the ways to allow God to build His church is to give over control. So that's a difficult one for us as human beings in any kind of setting, corporate setting, because we like to hold on to control. And that's one of the ways we say, God, come and have Your way. And obviously, it never goes out of the context of Scripture. You know, when we talk about God having Your way, God will never do things outside of Scripture. But within Scripture, there's a lot of room for God to do a lot of things. Revelation 19, Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. So that's important. It takes us above the realm of our natural ability. If you look at the book of Acts, for instance, if you go read through the whole book of Acts, where the church was birthed, the initial move of God into the Asia and into North Africa and things, all of that was basically a move of the Spirit. If you go and take out the works of the Holy Spirit, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you can look at every chapter and you take that out, there's not one chapter remaining in the book of Acts. So that is how important the emphasis that the first initial church had on the gifts, is that basically God called the church into being through the Spirit. He led the church with the Spirit. He expressed himself through the Spirit, and he basically empowered the church, initial church, by the Spirit. And once again, I'm not saying we are close to that, but it's something that we can desire as the body of Christ to walk into that realness again, for that renewal to come to us. Okay. So we cannot live the New Testament church purely on a natural level. The Word has got too much testimony for that. And the fourth one here is enables all believers to contribute. Otherwise, the only contribution would be on those who teach in front. You know, so that enables really all of us to contribute to ministry. I'm not saying singing gifts and serving, all of those things are also contribution, but when I'm talking here about ministry gifts, because when we talk about Holy Spirit gifts, it's gifts of ministry. When you bring a word of encouragement, when you exhort your brother, when you pray for your brother, you're in essence a minister of God. Yeah, so the gifts enables us all, it qualifies us all to be ministers. Do you know all of us are qualified to be ministers of the new covenant as a gift? You know, there's obviously callings and there's offices that are a bit different. You know, so God puts you in the office of a prophet, for instance. It's not necessarily a gift of prophecy. You can operate in the gift of prophecy, not necessarily be in the office of a prophet. It's a different thing, you know. But all of us can desire the gift of prophecy. So that doesn't mean you have the office. It doesn't mean you've got a governmental office of it. But it means God can use you in ministry in exceeding ways. And it's something you can go home and say, God, use me at home. Use me at my workplace. We're going to get to that later. You know, for instance, the gift of wisdom, that gift is a powerful gift in the workplace, in the corporate world. If you can operate in the gift of wisdom, you don't have to offend a single person by operating in the gift of wisdom. You can just have solutions that nobody has. You know, when I was in the corporate field, we can get back to that later, you know, some of the things I designed, a lot of the engineers that were in my design teams didn't always agree with me. You know, some of the things, and they often put me on projects that were not so important. But when I still look at the website of the company, it's still going in Cape Town, Cobham, Satcom, some of those DLNAs and HPAs and things that I built, I'll explain to you what those are if you want to afterwards. But some of those products are still some of their best sellers now, because God enabled those products to become mainstream products where they thought they will not be products that catch on. You know, so some of the things I designed and was part of just became important because God knew it was going to become later on. So sometimes God will give you a word of wisdom that doesn't make sense, but inevitably the fruit of it afterwards will prove it right. So some of the things you're going to do in wisdom, no man is going to acknowledge even. But it's still a gift of wisdom that operates through you. All right. And one of the things, if we want the Holy Spirit's gifts to operate, we sometimes have to change the way we think about how God operates in our small groups, how God wants to operate in church. You know, God's order is not always man's order. I believe it's not disorder, but God's order is sometimes a bit different, and we need to be open to learn and to allow God to operate. Okay, what are the limitations of the gifts? The next one there. Let's look at a few limitations. It's important, like I said earlier, there's been a lot of abuse in the body of Christ, and et cetera, et cetera. So we must just look at the limitations. First thing, like I shared earlier, our identity doesn't become our gift. So one day when we come back, the Bible says all the gifts will cease and love will remain. And I think that's one of the big problems in the body of Christ, is when people start to operate in the gifts, they become proud in it. They take it on as a sense of identity. And let's read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8 to 10. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. You know, so God says these things are for now, for application now, and for building up now, but it will one day it will become obsolete. And I believe that actually takes a lot of pressure off us. You know, when we look at the fruits of the Spirit, the pressure is on. God wants us to grow. He wants us to become mature. He wants us to become kind to our brothers. He wants us to become love. He wants us to become gentle, patient. Those things are game on. You know, those things are real. You know, we need to contend to personalize those things. But when it comes to the gifts, It's something God wants to use to build up the body. So I don't have to be so afraid to go and to experiment in those and to apply that. Because even if I get it wrong, it's not who I am. And you know, in our Western society, we with a lot of shame. The devil operates through shame. You know, and so we will not engage in the gifts because we're afraid we're going to get ashamed. The Bible here says explicitly the gift is not our person. It's not our identity. Does that help? Does that take a bit of pressure off? You know, so what is the gifts for? It's actually, like it says here, it is because of love that we operate in a gift. It's because we want to see others build up. So the worst you can do is get it wrong. You know, because but if your intention is to build up, I don't believe people will see it wrong. You know, I don't believe people will experience it as not loving. If you want to pray, if I want to pray for somebody and I don't get healed when I do it in love, I'm sure it's going to go down well. Somebody cared enough for me to be willing to pray for me, even though they might not have gotten healed immediately, etc. Because they just say, God, I trust that you will come through me and heal this person. Okay. So it's a God, part of who God is, and the gift is an expression of who he is for a season. So it's a season now that we have Christ express God to the world, to us, through the gifts. So one of the ways that the gifts have been abused is to control. You know, so the gifts are never to control the body. It's never to, and you see it a lot of, you know, sometimes we see it on these TV channels, you know, when somebody, the prophet comes into town and the whole church is sitting up, waiting, etc., for the word of the year and the word of the season. And then he comes in like a king on, you know, the other day I was looking on TV, the guy coming with his Bentley, horses riding in front of him, etc. And you know, that is abuse of the gifts, because that is using the gifts to control. And doesn't mean actually that person doesn't operate in the gift, by the way. The Bible says, I'm going to show it to you later, gifts are irrevocable. But what you can see in that is it doesn't mean the gift that he's exercising or she is exercising is not authentic, but it's being used wrongly. So it's being used to build the person's own kingdom, not God's kingdom. You're with me this morning? So it's just important that when we see the gifts, it's just to interpret what is really happening here. You know, somebody might even bring you an accurate gift, but if that person then wants to use that expression to control you, then you need to back off. Say, the gifts are never to control me. It's here so that I can glorify God and I can live fully for God himself. All right. So, the exercise of the gifts, secondly, is not an indication of a person's character. Like I said, the fruits of the Spirit, God says you will know them by their fruits. Jesus says you will know them by their fruits. So when somebody comes into a room and expresses a gift, even accurately, even if somebody comes in here this morning and heals 10 people or give 10 accurate prophetic words, it has no indication of their relationship with God or with their character. It's not the relational. It can be. The person can be godly as well, but it doesn't mean the person is. And often, because we live in a supernatural and power in a world that kind of contends for the strongest and for strength, we like to be associated to powerful people. We authenticate a person sometimes by the expression of gifts. You know, a good example in a secular world can be movie stars, you know, that are extremely gifted, or singers. People follow them, but their characters are often very flawed people. You see the things they do behind the scenes, and it's crazy. But people will still follow them, and people will latch onto every word. What is this lady in Hollywood, Kardashians? I'm always mesmerized by that. What is the lady's name? The Kim. Like the amount of money people will spend. The other day she released a year or two emojis, those things on WhatsApp. She's the highest earning person in the world of people download her emojis to use on WhatsApp. And I'm thinking, people want to identify with this woman that's got no character at all, just because she is popular. You know, and that is the expression that we sometimes have in the gifts in the body of Christ. We follow somebody because of the expression of the gift, and we don't look behind the scenes. And a lot of people have been estranged from the body of Christ because of the abuse of certain gifts and how people have controlled them. But I just want to say, if you've gotten hurt before and something has gone wrong in your life, that was not God's idea, you know. People can misuse God's gifts because they are irrevocable. Romans 11:29, that's the reference to if God gives a gift, he doesn't take away. It's like if somebody gives you a BMW, You cannot come back 5 years later and say, I want my BMW back. If it's in your name, it's in your name. And God is the same. A gift is a free thing. So God cannot go against his character and take those gifts away. So we need to be very important, very, very clear on the fruits. And once again, nobody is perfect in their fruits. That's something that's been grown. But we must at least see that a person is growing in their fruits before we start to follow a person because of the gifts. You know, all of us are broken and on a progress, but we need to be at least be willing to say we are on a journey. We must at least be willing to own up to our faults and be honest. You know, I'm definitely in a process of on a journey of God still doing things in my life. But when somebody communicates as if he has arrived, he's arrived. Now, often when we see these people that has got a whole entourage around them, it's like they've arrived. They are just next to God. You know, then you must ask yourself questions. There's something scary going on here. Number two, if somebody is excessively preoccupied with spiritual gifts, it often indicates that they are more concerned with the things of time than eternity. You know, so as important as the gifts are, that should not be our preoccupation. That should not be our central theme in our church services or in our daily lives. Our central theme must be to please God, to be holy. God says, be holy as I'm holy. And pursuing the fruits of the Spirit should be more important for us than the gifts, unless obviously we pursue it to empower others. All right. Now, so once again, in ministry, we assess people more by the gifts than character. We must be careful of that. And Jesus gives a good warning in Matthew 7:21. He says, when people come to him and says, I healed people, I've driven out demons, I've done amazing things for you. And God will say, depart from me, I don't know you, practices of lawlessness. So what does lawlessness mean? It's actually just denying there's an ethical standard in the Bible. Denying that God actually expects us to grow in our moral capacities, in our moral, you know, in the moral standards that he has given us. You know, that is what it means with lawlessness. So we're more focused on expressing things and drawing people to ourselves through the gifts than what we're actually pursuing holiness. Okay, so that's important. If you want to operate in the gifts, just make sure it's grounded in character, that we operate in a place where we're open to God's correction and where we pursue holiness, becoming like Jesus. All right. Okay, so right focus is Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, no one will see God. No, like Jesus says, I didn't know you. If you want to know God and be known by God, we become holy. Okay, so now just the last little bit. Just going to look at the gift of knowledge and wisdom. The first two gifts that we see in that nine-folded application of the gifts. Proverbs 15:2, he's looking at wisdom, knowledge. It says, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness. That is a good summary of the difference between knowledge and wisdom. The gift of knowledge is just giving knowledge in a situation. You know, so if someone has got a gift of knowledge, they come and pray for you and say, I see this and this and this is realities, is facts in your life. And often what we see is the gift of knowledge and wisdom then operates together. And they often work together. So somebody might pray for you and say, I see this and this. And you say, yes, that's true. And then God will give you a word of wisdom. So that will be a solution to the problem. Or maybe you're in a situation where you have two decisions. And a word of wisdom would say, take the right turn instead of the left turn, etc. So a word of wisdom is a place where God just gives you supernatural insight into a situation that cannot be discerned on a natural plane. You know, so for us, that's actually an awesome gift to operate in all day long. You know, in a workplace, often one of the things God says in his word, if you lack wisdom, ask me and I will give it to you freely. So one of the things I used to pray a lot, actually yesterday as I gone through that, I said, Lord, I should pray this again a lot. Let's just say, God, give me wisdom for daily living. Give me wisdom how to grow up my kids. Give me wisdom, Lord, how to do my work. You know, how to be healthy, how to treat people, how to engage people. You know, that is something where God's supernatural ways and ideas, God knows all things and knows the best, gets then applied in your life. You know, and it says here, the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishness. So we live in an information age. where almost everybody has got access to all kinds of information. Even if you want to be a doctor these days, you can go and see a surgery on YouTube, you know, so you could probably learn to operate on somebody looking at YouTube. But what it says here, information without tact can become foolishness. So we see it in the world. A lot of people know a lot of stuff, but that knowledge can become abuse. You know, we know how to make nuclear weapons in the wrong hands, it becomes foolishness. You know, we know how to build cars in the wrong hands, it can become instruments of destruction. You know, in every area of life, information is not what we need. We need integrity, and that application of integrity, and that necessitates wisdom. You know, so often when we get stuck in life, we try and get ourselves more educated. Who's ever thought I must get myself more educated to get further in life? And I don't think it's a bad thing to get educated, especially if God directs you to that. But I think the starting point must be, God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to take the next step. Instead of getting more information, more education, etc., I need wisdom first. And God can actually use your education very well if it is applied wisely. You can become an amazing doctor, amazing engineer, amazing all of those things if you couple it with wisdom. D.L. Moody, a preacher in the 1800s, he says, when people are uneducated, they steal the bolts of the railway line. When they're well educated, they steal the whole railway line. So education can just make you more immoral in some sense. You know, it can make you more foolish. Education, and we see it all around us. Some people have got amazing education, and the application of their education or their platforms, they just use to exploit people more or do more ugly things. So the necessary thing is wisdom. Okay, Proverbs, by the way, the book of wisdom in the Bible, it says seek out wisdom. You know, seek out wisdom. It's almost every second paragraph it says seek wisdom. Wisdom is hiding, you know, seek her out, etc. So he alludes to the Holy Spirit, really, the gift of wisdom. Okay, so they're related in a practical way. Word of knowledge gives us the facts about a situation. The word of wisdom shows us that God wants to deal with the situation, how he wants to deal. Okay, another illustration in the Bible, you can go read it. I'm not going to go through it. In Acts 15, the church gets to a new, interesting kind of place in its history where the Gentiles are getting saved. So the church leaders come to Jerusalem, and they're having an argument, you know. Must they be circumcised? Must they apply all the laws of the Old Testament, etc., etc.? And they're in a place of stalemate. They're in a place of not going anywhere. James stands up, and God gives them a word from Amos, where it says, don't hinder the Gentiles from coming into the kingdom. So he speaks a word of knowledge. He says to them, we must not hinder these Gentiles by putting unsurmountable obstacles in their ways. And then he gives a few directives. And the whole church, just by that word of knowledge, it wasn't, by the way, a democratic decision. Just by his word of knowledge, the whole church immediately agreed, because they realized it was a word from God. You know, so often when a word of wisdom comes, we don't need to have votes on it. You know, when God speaks, we all know that God is speaking. So that would be a word of wisdom from the New Testament church. Our God just directed the church through James, which is that time the church fought. He gave him a word of wisdom. Another example of a word of wisdom, interpreting knowledge well, is in the Old Testament with Solomon. He was king at that time, and two mothers come to him with a baby, and they're fighting about whose baby it is. The one mother says the baby was stolen. The other mother says, no, it's my baby, the other one. So they, both of them say the baby was stolen. So what does Solomon do? He gave them a word of wisdom. He says, let's cut up the baby in two, and then we'll divide the babies between you. And what happens? The one mother says, yes, go for it. The other mother says, no way, she can take the baby. And that word of wisdom just clarified the hearts. You know, the mother whose baby it was would rather have her baby alive and not own her. So that was a word of wisdom that brought a light into the situation, so Solomon could see what was in the heart. So a word of wisdom would often expose the heart. Okay. You know, so one of the things that we can really trust God for is just a general word of wisdom, how we go forward. I think we sometimes get stuck because we live in a in a system, in a sense, an information system. I was speaking to somebody, I think it was Carlos I was speaking to last week, and I was saying to him, we live in a world where if you don't make it in a certain way, you have no hope. Like in South Africa, for instance, if you don't have education, there's no hope for you, you know, in a normative sense. So a lot of people are in despair and depressed and hopeless because they don't have education. But what the gifts of the Spirit enables us to do greater things that the education cannot do. So for instance, you know, a lot of people think if I can't get a job, I have no future. Well, wisdom can actually expose to you the gifts that you have, can expose to you opportunities, can open doors for you that education cannot necessarily open. So a word of wisdom, for instance, can open a door for a person that before they didn't even know they could do something because they're not limited to a system. And it would be good for us to teach our children from a young age to sometimes break out of the status quo, to think outside of the box. You know, when my kids are 13 years old, I want them to start businesses, you know, just so that they can think differently. You know, go and see what's out there, what are the opportunities out there, and maybe, you know, start a business. You know, just learn wisdom by not being stuck to the system. And maybe in our lives as well, you know, you've maybe been doing something for 50 years or 20 years, 5 years, and you believe if I don't get a promotion in this area, I will never have a future. And God might just bring a word of wisdom into your, drop it in your spirit or through somebody. And your life can just take a new direction. You know, it's like for me in ministry, I was 10 years in ministry in engineering, and God started to speak to me about ministry. You know, 12 years, 2 years later, God released me. And it was a word of wisdom that somebody brought in prayer. And I didn't think, you know, I'm not qualified, God. I didn't come through the right channels. I didn't get education in theology, all those things. But God had a call in my life. And, you know, and by the wisdom of the word of knowledge, I could start to take action. I could start to take hold of that word. So I'm doing something now that I didn't get equipped for in a natural sense, in a career-wise sense. God himself has equipped me by his wisdom. All right, let's get a band. Come to forward. So this morning we just discussing if just the gifts. I'm going to leave us with that this morning. So if we can just all stand, I think there's two things we can do this morning. This is a faith response. The first one is this saying, Holy Spirit, I desire your gifts. I want to be a vessel for you, to manifest your gifts through. I will endeavor to be faithful and quick to obey. Thank you for being patient and persevering with me so that I will grow in these areas. So that's just the prayer I'm going to pray over us. It's just a saying, God, I'm open to your gifts. I know it's a gift. I just want to be open. I just want to be receptive to your Holy Spirit. I want to explore new things. Lord, you come to give us life in abundance. You didn't come to make our lives boring. By the way, the world out there thinks the church is boring. And I believe this is one of the ways that we can trump the world big time. You know, the world will go after the supernatural. When God's supernatural manifests, like we see in Elijah, which we see in Egypt, you know, it trumps the natural, exciting things in the world out there. It trumps the parties. It trumps the highs that people will go on with drugs, etc. But we need to say, God, come and flow through me. So if that's you this morning, you just want to say, yes, Lord. You know, you're not qualified to it. You're just opening your heart and say, Lord, I would love to operate in the gifts. I would just love to operate in the gifts. It's just an area of vulnerability before the Lord. If that's you, just put up your hand. And I'm just going to pray that prayer over you. You know, we're just going to trust God for a corporate impartation where God will just start to speak to us, start to excite us about the gifts. And we're just saying, like Rebecca, Lord, we want your gifts. So I'm just going to pray. We say, Holy Spirit, Lord, we desire your gifts. We want to be vessels for you, to manifest your gifts through. We will endeavor to be faithful and quick to obey. Lord, we will be vulnerable to your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Use us. Thank you for being patient, Lord. Lord, we repent where we sometimes have been unbelieving. Father, please persevere with us so that we will grow in the gifts. And then I just want to pray corporate prayer. Father, we just come to you. We allow you for sovereign control of this church through the gifts. Father, we repent where we want to be in control. Always, Father, we don't know what will always happen, but we know your order is better than the best order we can establish. in our lives. So Father, I thank you now that you just impart wisdom, Lord. And I feel especially this gift of wisdom is something you want to give to all of us. You want to just give us wisdom for daily living, wisdom to see things like you do, wisdom to make corporate decisions in the workplace, Father, wisdom to place us like Daniel, Father, as the most excellent one in the king's palace. Thank you, Lord, that you've called many in this house to be in corporate king's palaces per se and making good decisions. And I just feel the Lord is saying we need to not shy away. I just feel the Lord is like he says to Timothy, don't despise your youth. And I just feel that is where God wants some of us to have more resilience, to have more, in a sense, have a forehead of flint. That wisdom is not where you are. That's just a gift of God. So when people attack you, don't take it personally. When you set yourself up, like, I remember once in a board meeting, God just gave me a word of knowledge. And when I said that, I got a lot of flack. And I took it personally, and it just took something out of me. It proved itself, afterwards it proved itself well. So Father, I thank you this for the shield of faith, Father, the helmet of salvation on all of our lives, Lord. That we will go into situations completely covered in the armor of God. Completely being able to disseminate between the gifts and our persons. We go and apply the gifts because God wants to do things. He wants to run those companies. So I thank you, Father, that you will utilize people in this room, Father, to make amazing decisions, Father. To steer companies, to steer families, to steer neighborhoods, Father. Even to steer corporate government situations, Father. We thank you for that. Thank you that is your plan, Father, for the church, Father. It's through the gift to become preeminent so that your name can be glorified. We thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name.